considering how we've placed a focus on the reality of abuse of priests in the Catholic Church, I wanted to give you an update on some of the recent revelations and legal actions that have been taken. This is just with the past couple of weeks. Attorneys from the law firm of Jeff Anderson and Associates filed two child sexual abuse lawsuits under the New York Child Victims Act, the CVA, against the Archdiocese of New York, identifying Monsignor John Paddock as the perpetrator. Both survivors have maintained their anonymity in these cases. As of these filings, 15 lawsuits brought under the CVA alleged child sexual abuse by Father Paddock. Lawsuit filed on behalf of ARC 382 Doe alleges abuse from 1987 to 89. When ARC 382 Doe was between 12 and 13 years old, the alleged abuse occurred at Incarnation Parish in New York, where Paddock was a parish priest. Lawsuit filed on behalf of ARC 383 Doe, the other child in this, now adult in the situation, alleges abuse from 96 to 98 when ARC 383 Doe was between 15 and 17 years old. This alleged abuse took place again at Incarnation Parish in New York. Paddock was the parish priest there, and at Cardinal Hayes High School in the Bronx, where Paddock was a teacher. Turns out that Cardinal Timothy Dolan allowed Paddock to remain in ministry despite having knowledge of multiple allegations of abuse. Paddock's yet to be included on the Archdiocese of New York's list of credibly accused clergy and is believed to still reside at the Church of Notre Dame, Morningside Heights. We go to Wisconsin. The Attorney General's clergy abuse investigation poised to unearth decades of dangerous secrets buried within the church leadership. Why this is relevant, in 2007, then Archbishop of Milwaukee, Timothy Dolan, who is now the Cardinal and Archbishop of the Archdiocese of New York, obtained Vatican permission to transfer over $50 million to a cemetery trust in order to protect the money from survivors of sexual abuse. Archdiocese of Milwaukee's minutes, this is from a 2003 financial council meeting, indicated that the Archdiocese plan to shelter funds from survivors was underway while legislatures were reforming statutes of limitations. Coming back to New York, the Diocese of Rockville Center has quietly identified names of 101 clergy accused of sexual abuse. This is from April 15th. A list of clergy accused of sexual abuse in the Diocese of Rockville Center was included in a group of documents filed in the U.S. bankruptcy courts. Until this point, the Diocese of Rockville Center was the only Catholic diocese in New York to refuse to release a list of accused clergy. The list of accused clergy, as ID'd in the bankruptcy court filings, contains 101 priests and deacons that the diocese, in this case also known as the debtor, knows have been the subject of an adverse determination by a review board of the debtor that an allegation of clergy abuse against such priest or deacon was credible, or against whom an allegation clergy abuse was made through the debtor's independent reconciliation and compensation program, and the debtor made a payment in settlement of such allegation through the IRCP. Some of the standouts on this list of 101. Father Harold Cox, 11 lawsuits filed. Father Romero J. Ferraro, 21 lawsuits filed, including two involving the Diocese of Rockville Center. Bishop John R. McGann, one lawsuit filed. And Father Alan Placa, two lawsuits filed, both involving the Diocese of Rockville Center. Then we come to New Jersey, where three child sexual abuse lawsuits have been filed against the Diocese of Paterson. Three abusers identified: Father Thomas Rainforth, accused of allegedly sexually abusing a minor while assigned to St. George between 1976 and 1978. Father Francis Dennehy, accused of allegedly sexually abusing a minor while assigned to St. Nicholas in Passaic. That was from 1964 to 1966. And Father Ralph Sedano, accused of allegedly sexually abusing a minor while assigned to Our Lady of Fatima and Pope Pius XII Diocesan High School in 1972. Reports on these evils most often focus on the perpetrators more than the victims. And that's not right. Those victims are worthy of our support, certainly our prayers as well. How's their recovery going? Can they recover?